All right, welcome back to Sports Central. We're going to get philosophical here. Not that kind of philosophical, but as I mentioned before, James Franklin said the word philosophical about a dozen times or so today during his news conference, talking about the new offense, Mike Yurcich. Nate Bauer from Blue White Illustrated joins us right now. I'll give you an opportunity, a crack at it, Nate, to explain why James Franklin kept saying philosophically they had to make a change at the offensive coordinator spot.
You know, it allows him to explain why a one-year stint for Kirk Ciarrocca took place, right? I mean, it becomes pretty clear through the way that he kind of repeated that point that, look, it didn't end up being a fit, right? Like, maybe he thought that it would be a fit, and maybe there was things and elements from, you know, Kirk Ciarrocca at Minnesota that he liked, and that they thought would be, you know, kind of create a seamless transition. But ultimately, it wasn't. Like, ultimately, it wasn't as close to what they'd had previously with Joe Moorhead. But ultimately, I mean, that was the reference that I kind of took away from everything. It wasn't as close to that as he had hoped for. And so, you know, when the option came up to grab Mike Yurcich, you know, he already knew and could already see that Mike Yurcich was more of a fit philosophically than Kirk Ciarrocca was.
Yeah. And look, this is a no-brainer kind of move. It stinks because you don't want to move on and fire good people. And Kirk Ciarrocca is a good guy, and he only got a year, and he got a year during a pandemic, and he didn't have spring ball or summer. And could he have worked out better over a longer period of time? Sure, perhaps. But you just don't turn down an opportunity to get a guy like a Mike Yurcich, who here's the one thing. Donnie Collins and I from Scranton talked about this the day he got the job. He doesn't see Mike Yurcich being here longer than a year or two, maybe three at most. And so whatever you're going to do with Mike Yurcich, you'd better do it now, because this is not necessary. I mean, if this guy succeeds greatly, he's going to have his own head coaching job before too long.
Yeah, I mean, look, somebody put it to me this way, and I agreed with it fully. I think Kirk Ciarrocca is a top 20, top 30 offensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
In the minds of Penn State, and specifically James Franklin, Mike Yurcich is a top 5 mm-hmm. offensive coordinator, mm-hmm. right? And so it's a situation where, yeah, you can adjust and make small tweaks and try to find you know, kind of a middle avenue to so that the offensive coordinator, so that Kirk Ciarrocca doesn't feel uncomfortable. You know, he can do what he's best at, but also, you know, fulfills James Franklin overall, you know, the way, the direction that he wants the offense to flow. You can try to make that work, and it probably would have worked, right? Like, that's the bottom line here, is this whole season was such a catastrophe on so many levels and is such an impossibility to fairly evaluate it, just given all of the circumstances, that, yeah, like, and you saw that, right? Through the back half of the season, things improved. Do you know what this is just funny, because I say it all the time now. Do you know what Penn State finished in the Big Ten for offense, total offense?
Fourth.
Third.
Third. All right.
Right? So they moved the ball,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, you know, I think that we all have, you know, kind of this narrative in our minds, and the way that we reflect on the season is that, you know, it was this colossal disaster, and it was a colossal disaster. But a lot of that was based on the fact that they turned the ball over, and turning the ball over, not just turning it over, but doing so at inopportune times. That was preceded by being able to move the ball between the 20s. They struggled with turnovers, and they struggled in the red zone. And so, yeah, I mean, I think that James Franklin probably feels today very much the same way he did last year at this time,
yeah.
right? Which is you have an opportunity right now with the pieces that you have right now. He said it a year ago when he introduced Kirk Soraka that this wasn't supposed to be a learning curve. This was supposed to be an opportunity for the program to seamlessly transition from one to the next as best as you possibly could. For a lot of reasons that didn't happen, but I think that he thinks that that's a real possibility this offseason.
Okay. And we have to keep in mind what the goal is. Penn State's goal is not to finish in the top 25. Nate yep. brought up a great point earlier about Kirk Soraka being a top 30 offense coordinator. That's great. Penn State's goal is not to be in the top 30. Penn State's goal is to be in the top 10. Penn State's goal is to be in the top 4, and you've got a team in Ohio State that's in your division that is a direct challenge to that. So when we talk Penn State football, it's fascinating to me because there are fans out there who understand why we talk about things in a certain way, but then there are fans out there who don't understand, and they think that any level of criticism is that you're a jerk and they hate you and you hate them and all that kind of stuff, and believe me, I get a lot of that. When I talk about Penn State football, I talk about the goals with regards to getting to the college football playoff, not finishing 16th or 22nd. So I ask you this, and you brought up a great point about the top 30. I just so happened to 2 weeks ago break down all of Sean Clifford's numbers for the past 2 years. Do you know what he is basically in the NCAA stats over the last 2 years? He's essentially the 30th to 40th best quarterback in the country. Now, that's the past 2 years. One was with Ricky Ronnie. One was during a pandemic with Kirk Soraka.
Yep.
With Mike Yurcich, can the 30th to 40th best quarterback in the country become a top 10 or 15 quarterback and accomplish the goals that Penn State needs to accomplish if they're going to ultimately contend for a Big Ten East championship and a college football playoff?
You're going to love this. I'm going to start with an aside. I'm going to pull you off the scent real quick. I got hammered a few weeks ago by the Blue White Illustrated community, specifically one poster, but you know, a few people kind of chimed in for saying that Sean Clifford is an average to an above, slightly above average quarterback, mm-hmm. college quarterback at this level. And do you know why I got hammered? Because I didn't say that he was horrible. That he was the worst quarterback, that he is a terrible, terrible quarterback. And that just kind of illustrates the point, right? Is like he was not good this year. There is no argument against that. The throws, but also the decision making, also the way he forced the ball, also the way he tried to make things happen that weren't there. All of those things I will absolutely grant you. But we also saw a successful version of Sean Clifford. Sean Clifford can manage a football game. He can be a more than serviceable quarterback if the pieces around him are all in place to have that success. And for Penn State this past season, that just was not the case at the beginning of the season, bluntly. Okay, when Noah Kane got hurt, Journey Brown was absent, Penn State's running back room became markedly different from what they anticipated it to be. The offensive line was not the same offensive line. It was not the same. It was legitimately not the same group that finished the season and that finished the season on a high note. It didn't know what you had at wide receiver. You had guys in Keandre Lambert and Parker Washington who had to step into roles that, frankly, they did not anticipate. That also was not anticipated, right? That they would need those guys. Daniel George was supposed to be a guy there. Cam Sullivan Brown was supposed to be a guy there. And so all of those different things, at minimum, contributed to the performance that you saw from Sean Clifford at the very beginning of the season.
But are you saying that message board folks don't like nuance?
Believe it or not, I think that Sean Clifford can win games on his own? Like, is he a Justin Fields type? He's the game changer. He's the eraser. No, I don't think that. But I also think that for the most part in college, at this level, there's about five of those guys out there every year. Okay? You don't, like, most programs have to make do with something in that range of 20 to the top five. And so, you know, unless everything aligns and you know, all of the other pieces are there and you get that guy and he can take you over the top, sure, like, that's fine. But people are forgetting, Trace McSorley was not an all-world quarterback. He was not a stud. He like, all of those different things that people are so craving right now, Trace McSorley was none of those things, but he was a winner, and he had pieces around him who allowed him to do the right things at the right times that complemented what he does best.
See, this is a great discussion. I'm going to stop you because there are a lot of components to this, which is awesome. Nate Bauer from Blue White Illustrated. And this is the component. Again, I'll give Donnie Collins credit for this, for mentioning this. Is Sean Clifford that guy? Can he be that guy in this upcoming year? Because if he's not, how long is Mike Yurcich around? Is Mike Yurcich going to have time to go find his own guy and make that guy the Mason Rudolph in a year or two? Or are we even going to get to that? That's the fascinating dynamic about all of this, is that the pressure for Sean Clifford to be all of these things is immense. I mean, does Sean Clifford have to immediately be Mason Rudolph for this move to work? Because if he's not, and Mike Yurcich leaves in a year or two, will all of this been for naught?
The question is whether or not Sean Clifford is broken.
Yeah, I don't think he is. I don't think he is. Do you?
I think that there were times against Maryland and Iowa that I thought he was.
Yeah, but the second half, don't you think, it's not like Christian Hackenberg just kept getting broken. You could just see it, the whole thing play. Sean Clifford, the way he played the second half, I'll give him credit for turning it around.
Yeah, I mean, I will too, but I think that we saw a blunted version, right? They had to simplify things.
Mm-hmm.
Things, like, it was not, to me, this is the irony. Is one of Penn State's best offensive performances of the season was the Indiana game. Okay? They moved the ball. They doubled Indiana's yardage. They did whatever they wanted offensively for most of that game. It was just the screw-ups, right? Like, a couple of bad passes and a fumble prevented that game from being a 17-point Penn State win. But from that moment, moving forward, you saw all of those elements of the stress and the pressure and you know, the disappointment, like coming to grips and grappling with the reality that not only were they not a top 10 team, but they stunk, right? Like, they had to come to grips with that. And Sean Clifford, primary among them, was not able to come to grips with it until the midpoint of the season, until that starting job had been taken away from him. Right. So once he came back, yeah, I thought he did some good things, but I also did not think that we really saw anything resembling the offense running to the level that Penn State had ever hoped for. And so the question for me moving forward is, can Sean Clifford bury it? Can he put this past season, because that's what he has to do. Can he put this past season away and take the version of him that went into the Minnesota game two Novembers ago, right? Before that Minnesota game, can he find that version of himself? Can he get back to that and not only get back to that mentally, but make the physical improvements, make the game improvements that you would expect of any quarterback that has an extra 2 years in a system, right? And I don't know. I think that he has the elements to have that success, but more than anything else, you know, if I'm evaluating Sean and where things are going for him, and I think that, you know, James Franklin probably feels the same way. It's what's between his ears. It's whether or not he, you know, is able to put those things aside. We're talking about a kid who broke his own hand out of being ticked off that he didn't hit a weight goal in winter workouts, right? He is hyper competitive. There are those aspects of him that he has to grow up from. He has to be able to put them aside and move on from. And it's, to me, it's the quintessential question for this program going into the offseason.
Awesome. Great discussion, buddy. Always enjoy catching up with you, man. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Anytime. Thanks for having me, Corey.
All right. Great stuff there. Nate Bauer from Blue White Illustrated.